يا ابو خشام،
Okay, Refuahs v'Yeshuahs. I'm just going to mute everybody because there's a bit of buffering. Okay. The Seder. All right. Fine. Where are we? We're in Shah Hay. I think we have to deal with the seventh difference. We're talking about the differences of how a person approaches these seven areas. And the difference between someone who's a Baal B'Tochen, not a Baal B'Tochen. Obviously, this has a lot to do with us, but we also have to, we'll see, there's a lot of practical applications a person has to keep asking himself in life, different life situations. You have to say to yourself, how do I deal with this as a Baal B'Tochen? How do you deal with this if I'm not a Baal B'Tochen? How does a Baal B'Tochen approach lots of things that a person's going through, you know, like Shlomo, for example. So I don't want to pick on you. You know, you had a mitzvah here where you're ill, you don't know what's going on, whatever. So how does a Baal B'Tochen deal with that situation? How does someone's not a Baal B'Tochen? It's a question you have to ask yourself all the time. So in a Shvi, he says like this, he doesn't, when something he wants, he's not given to him, he doesn't get what he wants. So he uses the word grieve, he uses the word avil, he uses the word, he doesn't become an avil, he doesn't grieve, he doesn't mourn what he doesn't get. V'lo b'hipaket ohuv. Nor when he loses something that was very important to him, he lost something that was important to him. So he doesn't grieve. V'lo yatzai nimtso. And what's currently available, he doesn't hoard it. V'nani choshesh liyosim yeterif yoyme. He doesn't worry more about than what he needs for today. About a Baal B'Tochen, we're not talking about us. Baal B'Tochen, what he has today, he doesn't worry about more. What will be tomorrow, he doesn't worry. But the Briskarov is a famous Meister. But the Briskarov, when he was in Vilna, when all the yeshivas, when everybody escaped the Nazis and come to Vilna, so the demand for provisions was very, very, it was very hard to get food, it was very hard to get bread. So his sons, whatever, people were looking after him, used to get a piece of bread. Whatever he had that day, he ate. He wasn't gorging himself. There was barely enough to survive. But whatever he had, he didn't keep for tomorrow a piece of bread. Because if a Kosh Baruch Hu wants me to have food, I'll have food. Now I have to eat what I have to eat. When it came Erev Yom Kippur, Erev Yom Kippur, since eating on Erev Yom Kippur is a mitzvah deraisa, he felt it would be appropriate to put aside some bread, like an ishtadlus, to make, because it's for the mitzvah. Mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur is a deraisa. So he felt it would be appropriate. So he kept a piece, a bit of bread. As he sat down to eat his suda, a woman came in and she said, you won't believe what happened. I'd been saving and storing flour to make a little challah for the briskarov for Erev Yom Kippur. And it was in the oven. I'd made it. It was in the oven. And a mortar hit the oven and blew up the oven. And the challah got destroyed. I'm so sorry. I wanted to give the briskarov. The briskarov turned to his son. He said, you see, had I not saved the bread, that wouldn't have happened. I would have had the challah from her. But because I made too much ishtadlis, he said, you see, even that was too much ishtadlis, putting away food for tomorrow, even for the mitzvah. Kosh Baruch Hu made me a nice challah, but I went and messed it up. That's a Baal B'Tochen. That's someone who's holding there. We're not Baal B'Tochen. We need to know what's normal for us. But we're learning the Chovos HaLevavos to get in touch with the ideal here. So let's see what he says.
That's subjective, because for him, that was too much. But for me and you... But for me, it wouldn't be possible not to do that.
That's what I said. That's not about a Baal B'Tochen.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I was getting you clear. Yeah, your real is your real. You have to know. For me not to put away bread for tomorrow would be irresponsible. You know, avada. Once again, that would be irresponsible. We have to go back to our definition of what's called ishtadlis. If you don't do the ishtadlis and you don't get the bread, would you have charotah? That's going to be the test always of our ishtadlis. Since I had a certain level of betochen, which enabled me to say, I'm not worrying about what will be tomorrow. But when tomorrow comes and there's no bread, am I going to be toler rishonis? Am I going to regret that I didn't put away the bread? If I am, then I'm going to damage my betochen. I'm not going to be able to do that again because I did it once and I have charotah that I did it. So you don't do it again. That's a tshuva word. You're doing a very, you have charotah, that's called tshuva. You have a level of betochen and you do something based on that level of betochen, and then you mitcharet, so you've lost that level of betochen. So the work you need to do is not whether it's responsible, not responsible. You have to always do the minimum that you can in such a way that you won't mitcharet if it doesn't work out the way you want it to. That's always the getter, not always, but that's a very good working understanding of what the ishtadlus is. I don't put away bread for tomorrow, and then tomorrow I don't have bread. Chas v'chalila. So now do I go, oh, you're such an idiot, why didn't you put away bread? Then that wasn't the right ishtadlus for you. You needed to make ishtadlus. But if you say, listen, okay, I'm glad I took that level. I'm glad I had that level of betochen. But now I have to make some more ishtadlus going forward. That's fine. But the minute you have regret that you did what you did, so that level of betochen is lost to you now. You have to crawl back and get it back again. So that's a very important thing to know. What's appropriate for me based on my understanding of what's appropriate for me. And it's a very personal thing that it's not, there's general principles, but the Ike is very personal. He doesn't concern himself what will be tomorrow. He doesn't know when his life's going to end. Who says I'll even be here tomorrow? If I'm here tomorrow, if Hashem wants me to live, then there'll be food. And if he doesn't want me to live, then there won't be food.
And Rabbi, can I just bring one nakuda up? If your person is in a situation where he's pushed into a position where, so to speak, in theory, if you would think about his scenario, he should be doing a tremendous amount of ishtadlus on his level, the level that he's matim for him. However, it's very clear that there's really nothing for him to do. And whether he'll have bread tomorrow or he won't have bread tomorrow is whatever, but there's... it's clear that whatever he tries today is not logically is not something that's gonna get him bread or not get him bread. So there's nothing really to do, even though normally he would do. But in this particular situation, when you've thought it all through, even though if there was, you would, but there just isn't. Like once you told me, you know, Corona said you can't go fundraising. You can't go, you can't travel because there's Corona. But normally you travel and you get all your money from there, whatever it is. But the situation says that you can't. So even though normally on your level you would go and travel, that would be your madrega, and you would travel to go get to raise funds. And this is the best example. But now Hashem made it that you can't. And the Matthias is still the Matthias that it is, that you would normally, that you can't. There's nothing to do. So you have to say, well, there's nothing to do, so I don't do any studies. Whether you're on the madrega or you're not on the madrega.
Once again, your status has nothing to do with the madrega. Your status has nothing to do ultimately with the madrega. There's a couple of nakudas you've raised here. First of all, we have a chiv to make ishtadlis. Sometimes you have a chiv to do many things. You have a chiv to put on tefillin. What happens if there's no tefillin in the world? So then you potter, honest Rahman, a potter. If there's no ishtadlis you can make, and I mean no ishtadlis you can make, then you potter. The ishtadlis doesn't always have to be logical. It doesn't always have to be, well, you know, I'll do this, I'll get this. Sometimes you have to make ishtadlis even though it doesn't always make the best sense. I'm talking about in a b'shas adchak. Normally you try and make, the Chaim Soloveitchik himself says, you try and make ishtadlis that's matim for you, for your goof, for your intellectual ability, something you enjoy. But sometimes in a matzav, you have to do things which might look a bit crazy. So maybe that's a separate question. But ishtadlis is based on how much I need to make in such a way that if I don't make the ishtadlis and it doesn't work, I won't have charota. That's the ikar avoiding the ishtadlis. If there's no ishtadlis to make, then you potter, poshut. Hashem says, there's nothing that you can do. Well, fine, so then get a safe and go sit and learn. There's nothing you can do. You have to,
and sure. then the next day, just like you predicted, there's no bread. So you don't have the bread.
I wanted that I didn't make ishtadlis because I was positive.
There's no charata. That's what I'm saying. It has to be that there's no charata because there wasn't anything to do.
Yeah. I was happy to make ishtadlis. Aval Hashem said, no, you're not allowed to make ishtadlis now, or you can't make ishtadlis, or you're parted from ishtadlis. Maybe you want to be mangir. So you can't have charata. Even if you're not a Baal B'tochen, you won't have charata. You might be upset with Hashem that he, whatever. It's another ordeal, but you can't have charotah that you never made ishtadlus because there was no ishtadlus to be made.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You may have charotah that you didn't say more tehillim. You may have charotah. I'm saying there's always something a person can do. It was because I couldn't fundraise by traveling, so I used the phone, you know, I sent emails. You do other things, you know, you bug people that are closer to home. But you do get situations where if you potter, you potter. Potter. There's other reasons you could be potter. The Chovei Salavav himself mentions there's certain things that a person gets to a certain level or whatever where he's potter from ishtadlus as well. That's also that he can't have charotah because he doesn't have to make ishtadlus. He's potter. If you make ishtadlus because it's what you want and that you like it and that's what you want to do, even when you don't have to, well, that's a big problem. That's a big problem. We're talking about somebody who's making ishtadlus based on the criteria that the Torah demands he has to make ishtadlus for him, whatever that is. More ishtadlus than you need to make is also a problem. That little Torah. It's also a problem. It's hard to find a balance, but you have to play with it. It's trial and error. We mentioned the Meshes Chochmah many times here, that there's no clear cut suck on these things. How much betochen, which shitin betochen. Ishtadlus, how much, where, what? Those are very personal, difficult decisions that a person has to make. It's not a simple cheshbon of, you open up Shulchan Aruch and it tells you what a kazais is, you know, and you've got two shitters and we paskin like the chazanish. It's not that simple. It's much more, the Meshes Chochmah says, that's why it's the only area in Torah where there's no clear cut psach, right, on how we conduct ourselves. It's about a relationship with Hashem. How am I going to tell you what the crud? You feel secure because you're with your father. How am I going to tell you what the Gedorim of it are? Each person's relationship with his father is different. V'einu sameach ba'osid v'lo yeichol lo kamo sh'amar ha'kosuv al tisalel v'yoy macha ki lo teida ma yeiled. He doesn't rejoice over the future. He's not worried about the future. He doesn't mourn the future. He's not getting too happy about the optimistic forecasts from from those that know the future. And he's not getting miserable because people say, wow, this is going to be terrible. This is going to be a disaster. No, he doesn't mitjachez to that. It doesn't maziz him because the pasuk says, don't get too gaiva dig about tomorrow because you don't know what the day may bring. Lo teda ma yeleg. You don't know what this day is, what's going to be born today. You don't know. There were certain situations looked like it was going to be catastrophic and nothing happened. And there were certain things that looked like they were going to be, wow, the best thing. And they didn't burn out. How many times were you worried about something that never happened? How many times do we worry about things that at the end it turned out to be nothing? Plenty, all the time. All the time, I worried about what's going to be. It's a clue. And how many times do you think, wow, this time I've got it? If a donor of mine phoned me a few months ago, tell me, Rebbe, I found it. I found this is it. This is the ultimate panosa. He almost mashachned me to go along with him and invest in him, whatever. I don't have any money. So investing is not exactly high on my list of priorities now because I don't have anything and you don't borrow to invest. But he was so convincing that I almost was going to borrow to invest in this thing or whatever. Anyway, last week I had a look to see how it was doing and it's like bellied up. But this is mama, she's found the Holy Grail. This is the panos. This is what he's been looking for. This is it. You know, so I'm older than 30. So I know that they're too good to be true. They usually are too good to be true. But that's it. He's so happy about the future because he's found this business deal and this is it. This is going to put him on easy street for life. So you don't get too excited, you know, because you don't know what will be born tomorrow, what it looks like today, you know, there's surprises in the world. Va'omer ben Sira in the Gemara in Yevomah says, Al tatzah tzaras macha ki lo teda mayeled yoim. Again, don't be worried about tomorrow's trouble because you don't know what the day may bring. Macha yavo v'aneinu. Tomorrow will come and you might not be here even. We're not going to live forever. So tomorrow, you're worried about tomorrow, but tomorrow can come and maybe you won't. Comes out, he says then in the Gemara, that you were busy worrying, you were busy mourning for some world that wasn't yours. אבל דגוסה ואיב לו אמר שהוא מקצב או מחוי וסבירה. Now, what about the concern and the worry? This Baal B'tochen, the only thing he has to be worried about is am I fulfilling my chiyuvim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? As my cheshbon with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu dealing. I'm worried about my efforts now to makayim the chiyuvim that I have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How's my avodas Hashem? That's something a person's got to be worried about and concerned. Not worried to the point where he makes himself meshuggah and he goes mad, but it's something that you should be concerned about. That's something that a person should sit down and say. For sure, be trying to pay back. He should be trying to fulfill whatever he can. Both in his outward action, in the maisim that he needs to do, what the chayvus halavavus calls the chayvus avarim, the mitzvahs that we do with our guf, which is roiv ruba, the mitzvahs are done with a guf, and also one's inner world, the what we call the duties of the mind, the chayvus halavavus. So those are things that he should be concerned about. Where's my betochen? Where's my imuna? Where's my simcha zachayim? Am I doing shara bechina properly? And also, am I doing the mitzvahs properly? How's my davening? How's my this? Each person on whatever he's working on, his areas, whatever. Obviously, besimcha, not to be worried and whatever, to become miserable and depressed because you're a failure. That you have to come to the 9:30 shir. We'll knock that nonsense out of you there. How's my relationship with Hashem? Am I talking to Hashem enough? Am I relying on Hashem? There's a lot of work to be done. Those things are things that a person can be concerned about. But what will be tomorrow and what will be with him? And if he says this and she said, what's going to be? Zelo, elam shalcha. Yibnei shuchayshev b'misosu v'bo yoy ma'asifo. Because he's thinking constantly about his death and the rival of the worldly things that happened to him. The things that go wrong in every person's life. As the Chovos HaVavos is going to discuss now himself. So when it doesn't betochen, he doesn't understand that all these things that he's worried about and are causing him so much aggravation, they call for HaKadosh Baruch Hu for his good. Ve'yifkad avav, he's suffering of all the things that he's losing, that he wants, and that is beloved to him. Ve'imanu mimenu b'kashoysov. And he feels that these things are deprived to him. Ve'yazmin me'mo ilam harbe. So therefore, he buys lots of them and he puts in, he's worried, he makes lots of money and he tries to store away because what will be tomorrow, you'll have, you won't have. Kilo betach min ha-chalifa. He's secure again. He's only worried about one thing. Will I have enough money to live on for the next 500 years? But he's not worried about the fact that maybe he's going to pass away. The sorrow mal of Emes Amavis, the fear of death is completely removed from this guy. That he's going to live forever. He's going to be the only guy that gets out of this place alive. Even though the evidence is is quite strong that no one's getting out of this place alive. He spends himself all the days with this world. He's not thinking about ruchnias, he's not thinking about Torah, he's not thinking about preparing for the next world. There's ever a savings account in the next world? He's worried about what's in his bank account, yeah, but what about what's in his bank account there? He's very confident that he's going to live a long life and he's going to be able in this world, he's going to be able to get whatever he wants, he's going to fulfill all his desires in his material existence. You know what? I left that a whole stickle there. I'm sorry. We suddenly jumped into dealing with the guy who doesn't have betochen, and I left out a paragraph here. So now, what we did now is important. That's the Ashgacha that we did it, but I want to just go back a little bit. I'm sorry. No one's following you. You should have told me, Rabbi, you left out more than just one line. So I turned over the page, and there's a little paragraph here on the other side of the page. I didn't see it. I was wondering, how did we get? We were busy talking about the guy who does have betochen, and we suddenly slipped into the guy who doesn't, and we didn't make that transition. So it was just bothering me. Then I saw you that I left this out.
Which part?
I'll tell you now where I missed. He said, "Masha yoichul proimem benira benistore b'neishu chayshib b'misaso boy yom asifa."
Yeah.
What a person should be worried about, and this is the Baal B'tochen. What he's worried about what's going to be the next one. And then I left it out. I'm sorry. He should be worried that suddenly he'll die. Yosef lo yishtadlis v'zrizus lahav in tzeda lachrisoi. So he puts more effort into prepare for his final destination. And it becomes more and more indifferent to providing the material provisions for this world. Now, you can't become indifferent. Person has obligations here in this world to provide materially for other people and for himself. Yeah, but he has to take care of himself. But it becomes less important to him, less concerning for him. As you get older, you'll see that happens. As you start getting older, the pleasures of this world aren't so pleasurable anymore. You're not driven by the passions and the pleasure and the tivers of this world. Other tivers kick in, more subtle tivers. There's tivers for cover, there's tivers for more subtle things, whatever. But the material gathering and hoarding in this world becomes less important to a person because he recognizes that he's getting older, and he better start preparing the ship's about to sail, and he better make sure that he's got what to eat on the journey. That's what the Mishnah says. It says, do tshuva one day before you die. Yeah. So how do you know when that is? So therefore, you have to do tshuva every day. Does a man know when he will die? He should do tshuva today because maybe tomorrow he'll die. So he'll live his whole days in tshuva. By the way, if you do that, one day you'll be right. One day for sure, if you live every day like it's your last, so one day you'll be right, because one day there is going to be your last. Rav Victor Miller has a whole book on this. Someone gave me a present, a whole sefer talking about Olam Haba. He said, we don't speak about Olam Haba enough. He said, no one in this world talks about Olam Haba, about Gehenna, about death. These things are things we have to learn about. And someone gave me a copy of this book. It's on Olam Haba. It's unbelievable. It's done with such tuf tam, so beautiful, just making you think about, just remember, this is not a permanent world. So that's what a person needs to do. Kediksiv b'chol eis yi bagadecha levonim. Koheles says that. Make sure that your garments are white all the time, because you never know when you're going to. So that's a person who has betochen. That's how he lives his life. Not worried about tomorrow. He's not over-rejoiced about tomorrow. He lives today. He's in the moment. Lives portion in the moment. Those are rare experiences. Those are precious experiences where you just live in the moment without concern for tomorrow, without concern for the next day. There's a whole shtickle that's called, it's called one day at a time. One day at a time. So that's a well-worn phrase. Zala Riches here from the Tosha Rebbe from Montreal. Maybe we'll look at it sometime. I'm going to start it now. It's a whole long sugya, but that's one day at a time. Rabbi Ephraim will tell you that in therapy, when you're working with people, you're getting them to change. You just get them to one day at a time. Someone wants to give up smoking. Let them give up smoking for the rest of your life. You're telling one day at a time. You stop for, sometimes it's even 5 minutes at a time, 10 minutes at a time. It's one of the way we deal with the Yetzara. We tell him, yeah, I'm going to do what you want. Just give me 5 minutes. I'll be outside right now. You're busy learning, the Yetzara says to you, hey, there's things to do. Come on, we got to go. You tell him, yeah. You never say no to Yetzara. You tell him, yeah, I agree with you. Just give me 5 minutes. I'm going to live 5 more minutes. Half an hour later, he comes back. He says, hey, what's going on? We have to go. You tell him, yeah, just give me 5 more minutes. Delay him, because that's what he does to us. When you want to do something good, what does he say to you? He doesn't say, don't do it. He says, yeah, do it, fine, but just sleep another 10 minutes and then you can go daven. He never says to you, don't go daven. You wouldn't listen to him then. He tells you, no, for sure you're going to daven, but if you sleep 10 more minutes, you'll daven much better, so just another 5 minutes, and then we'll go. So you have to use that trick on him. Okay, so that was in Koheles. Okay, Vashay Neinu Batech, so now he starts talking about what we said. This is the Neinu Batech, Yabe Evloi Lahas Modus Pigo Yilam Olav. He is very, very miserable about the world's mishaps that regularly befall him. Yiv Kadoivav, that we discussed, we went in at length. Well, that's the guy who doesn't have betochen. He's not worried about the next world. He's so worried about getting what he's, getting his comforts and everything he needs taken care of this world. And that's where he goes. I just want to share you something practical that happened to me. We spoke here once about, I don't know if I did it here, we spoke about it in the morning show. I don't remember anything anymore. But we said that the Chovos HaLevavos, I think we did it here. The Chovos HaLevavos says you have to have betochen in something. There's no such thing you don't have betochen. whether it's your money, your cleverness, whether it's the government, the bank manager, your best friend, whatever. The only person who really has betochen is someone, the person who can really survive is someone who has betochen in Hashem. You have to have betochen in something, but only Hashem can deliver. So only you can only have true yeshuva das, manuchas and nefesh, you have betochen in Hashem. So we try to do an exercise is have a look when something's happening, ask yourself, what am I relying on here? God forbid somebody's sick. So what are you relying on? The kupat chulim, you're relying on the medicine, you're relying on the doctor. What happens if there wasn't a doctor, there wasn't medicine, the kupat chulim, the whole medical system collapsed and there's nothing? Now what are you relying on? Where's your yeshuva das coming from? You don't have yeshuva das because you're panicking because you were relying on the doctor. Now there's no more doctors. So you're worried. So we try to do an exercise. I don't know if you remember, if this is resonating with you. Ask yourself, what am I relying on now? And if that thing wasn't here, what would I be relying on? Where's my betochen? And then use that as a barometer of just trying to build that a little bit. So I had an incident. I had an incident yesterday. I went to start my car, and my car didn't start. And I told you, work on small things. It's 6:45 in the morning. I've got to get to davening. And I start my car, and the battery's dead. So anyway, to cut a long story short, it took me half an hour. I got somebody to help me try and start the car. Didn't start. They helped me push. I went down the hill. Eventually, I started my car. 6:45, I got to davening late. Anyway, whatever, that was the story. But now I need a new battery. So now I'm like, I'm angst. I need a new battery. What am I going to do? I get a new battery. Who's got money for a battery? Whatever. And then I thought to myself, 1 second, you know, you just got some money that you were going to buy. I just happened to have some money that I got that I was going to buy one thing with. And I thought, you know what? I don't really need that now. The car battery I need, so I'll use it for that. And then I was regua. I was fine because I have the money for the battery. After I put in the battery, whatever, I was thinking to myself, why was I calm? Because I had money. And if I didn't have the money, I wouldn't have been calm because we're not going to find the money to buy a battery now. It's an expensive story. There's not 20 shekels, a couple hundred shekels. But Tom, I remembered, oh, I've got the money. I need a goa. So I caught myself. That's exactly what we were talking about. That's exactly. I was so happy that I had the exercise. I was calm because I had the money beside it. And if you didn't have the money, you have to be the same calm without the money as you are with the money. So now that's a big ask. That's a big task. But just at least to have the awareness from learning and going through, I was able to catch myself and say, hello. Because Baruch Hu knows you need a car. He knows you need to be on the road. He wants to get your battery. He can get your battery without your money. Hashem doesn't need your money to get your car back on the road. And then the Yetzer says, yeah, but where's it going to come from? If you don't have money, you can't go into the shop and buy a battery. You don't have money. I might have to make yishtadlis. Not saying no. You might have to borrow the money. You might have to give the guy 10 checks. I don't know, whatever. That's another story. But just the etzim, I was regur because I remembered, hey, I've got money. That's exactly what the voice of I was just talking about. He's botach on his money. He's botach on his money. So then I was calm. I was chilled all day. I was so nice. Walked in, bought the battery, paid for it. Now my car's going lovely, started. I don't have to park on hills so that when it doesn't start, I can roll down the hill, whatever. And I'm back to normal. Back to normal, gewaldig. And I was torn because I had the money in my pocket. And if you didn't have the money, oh, so that's the kind of exercise I was talking about the other day, that we have to find those little moments to just, it was a reality check for me. I'm a big Baal Betochen, and I learned Chovos HaLevavos, and at the end of the day, when push comes to shove, where's our Betochen really? Betochen's not really in Hashem, but Betochen was in the money. So hopefully next time I'll have a better experience. Anyway, Mitzvah Shem will carry this on next week. Sorry about that mistake. I don't know.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Very nice. Thank you so much.
Big, take care.
Jonathan, you're hiding your face from me. Why?
I'm hiding from many things right now. It's just part of the puzzle.
Were you in Johannesburg still? The 3rd of January. No one's in. People are around or people have gone away?
A lot of people have gone away.
Oh, good. Okay.
That's good. It's not what I'm meant to be doing now.
Are you okay? The family's all right?
Yeah, thank God. Well, trying our best.